there we are. Yes, it is. I remember that bit. I'll go from chapter 8, verses 12 to 25. So maybe you have to flick that one over or bring your own Bible. Okay, let's have a look at this one. What Paul was saying to the Romans, the early church there. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. By the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by his cry, Abba Father, the Spirit himself, or by him we cry, Abba Father, sorry, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." And he answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom anything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the burning furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ."
Well, there's an exercise in listening to the scripture. Sometimes that's not a bad thing, because it makes us really listen, because when the words are in front of us, sometimes we actually don't switch our ears on properly. So these things happen. All right, now let me just sit this here for a moment so I can not drop everything, which is probably going to happen today. One of those, you know, those dropsy days where you do things just don't quite, you know. So this morning I've tripped over a microphone lead. I've dropped a few things. So I'm just going to put things down, you know. Anyway. When Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's trying to help them to understand the world that they live in and the world that is actually God's world, God's creation. And in trying to help them to understand and helping them to understand how things work, he talks about those who are wheat and those who are weeds. And he's really talking about people here. And he's talking about those, the wheat, who are God's people, and the weeds, who are not. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody who begins life as a weed can't become wheat. One of the miracles of God's creation to recreate and to make us new in him. So sometimes we may well identify with the weeds over time and say to ourselves, well, I've been a weed, Lord. But you know what? All weeds can be wheat. If they will come to Christ, he brings them from weed into wheat. It is what's called a new creation. And it's important for us to remember that. And the reason why is because people sometimes read these passages and they almost feel like it's all set in concrete and it's done. And it's just, and we become fearful. We become fearful that somehow, because this is the way it is, and the Lord says he'll deal with it at the end of creation, but right now it's there. We become fearful. And sometimes even a Christian becomes fearful of becoming a weed again, of stepping out of this place. Romans 8 says, we read it just before, Romans 8 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received the spirit of adoption. In other words, because we are adopted children of the living God, once you've been turned into wheat, you don't become a weed, except by choice. True choice, as in, forget it, God. I'm not even going to acknowledge you exist. I'm off. I'm not interested. And staying there. But you see, the thing about it is that can happen with anybody, really. Whose family are you part of? And that is our question this morning in a lot of ways. Whose family are you part of? And how do we tell the weeds from the wheat? Well, before we go much further, I've got a few things here which are, they're on sticky notes, so they'll stick. Now, what happens in adoption? Has anybody ever had foster children? Ever done fostering? Has anybody met somebody who's done fostering? Okay, yeah. So when you have a foster child and that foster child comes and lives with your family, that foster child belongs to another family, don't they? They don't belong to your family completely. And so they come into your family and they live with you. And you treat them as one of your own. And you love them as one of your own because that is right and good and true. They're there for that reason. And they come to you and you love them, you look after them, but they actually belong in a different family. And when it is time for them to either go back to that family or go to the family that they are going to stay with, whichever family that may be, that foster child leaves. They're not truly your child. But if you go to the judge and you say, I want to adopt this child, and you go and all those papers are signed, suddenly that foster child becomes family. The child is no longer a child who's staying with you while you treat them and as exactly as you would treat your own children and love them exactly as you love your own children. They are your child, according to all of the paperwork. According to the law, according to the judge, they're your child. That's adoption. When we are adopted, we are no longer of the family we were part of before. We are part of the family that has adopted us. And what Paul is saying is that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we become adopted children of God. So we have a new family. And our new family is God's family. And what's interesting, and people get hung up on this all the time, is Paul calls us sons. And the women all sit there and go, I'm not a son, I'm a daughter. Well, you are a daughter. However, this is not about whether you're male or female, or slave or free, or any of those things. It's about the fact that we are a child of God and we are sons because the Son, is the one through whom we are adopted. So it's like this. If you have children and your children are young, as they grow up, you might bring them up in the family business if you have a family business and you want them to learn the business and run the business one day. And so you bring them up in your business. And so say you are a furniture maker and your name's Joseph, then you'll bring Jesus, your son, up in the family business, won't you? And you'll teach him how to make furniture and you'll show him how to do the books and you'll show him how to do this and that. But he doesn't get to inherit that business until you die completely. But before that, at some stage, you're actually going to put your son in charge of that business because you're going to get to a point where you want him to take over. And so you will change the sign on the front and it might say Hills Furniture. And then you will change it and it will say Hills and Sons. When we come into faith in Jesus, we become the ones who inherit the family business through the Son. And it's in that sense that we are all sons. So when we sing that wonderful bit of How Deep the Father's Love, and it says, bringing many sons to glory, you're part of it, ladies. We are sons too in that sense. So, speaking to the sons of God in this room who are adopted into him, all of us, and speaking to our young ones, we are all family. So I thought it might be good if you made a family tree. So we have a few bits and pieces there. And so every tree needs what? A trunk, something for everything to grow from. Our trunk is in the Lord. The Lord God, he's the true vine. He's the place where we are anchored into. And every tree needs fruits and it needs leaves. And so we have some leaves here and they're made from sticky notes, so they'll stick on. And you can put the names of your family onto your tree. And we're going to make it into a family tree. And your family can be your family at home. But you might want to make a family tree that has the names of some of the people in your family here on there, because we are family. In Christ, we are all adopted children and we have one Father. So you'll have to draw your tree to cut it out. Go and have fun. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. When we are people of flesh, as Paul has been pointing out, when we are following that Adam nature that will choose against God and is rebellious, when we continue to live in that way, we are cut off from the source of life in the Father, and death comes to us. Now, this is not talking about physical death, but spiritual death, where we are cut off from God. which is not what we want. But if we live according to the Spirit, as in by the Spirit we've put to death the deeds of the body, we live. In other words, those of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, and she can see I'm going to knock that off. Those of us who've come to faith through Jesus Christ and become children of the living God, we put to death those things. We crucified with Christ, aren't we? So the old self is crucified with Christ. We die with him, and therefore we are raised with him. And that's putting to death those things. And that happens through the Spirit of God, because we can't do it ourselves. It happens through the agency of God's Spirit working in us. But it is a process. And there will be times when I don't necessarily do everything I should do. I know it's a surprise, isn't it? It's true. There will be times, and we know this, and this is where Paul has grappled with this idea that there are things which sometimes we'll have trouble with. That does not make you suddenly back to being a foster child. This is really important. As children of God, we are children of God. Once we have died with Christ, we have died with Christ, and we live in him. Just because I stuffed up today doesn't mean that I lose Christ or that I lose my place with the Lord. One of the problems, of course, is that I can come into that place and just like any naughty child, I can do the wrong thing and I'll be hiding in the bushes going, I'm not talking to Dad, he's going to be really upset with me. I'm not doing that. And I live in fear. That's not what God wants for us. When we are children of God, we have a Father who, instead of yelling at us, wants to come to us and say, come, child. And we can say to him, I'm sorry, I did the wrong thing. And he'll say, yeah, I know. Through Jesus, we are forgiven. But we have to do the confession. And we have to do the forgiveness part. We can't let that slide. The weeds and the wheat parable tell us that, doesn't it? You can't just let sin go. You really can't. God won't let it go in the end. God is still judge. Very important to remember, because sometimes people say, well, I'm an adopted child. I've died with Christ. I'm alive now. No worries. I'm fine. Doesn't matter what I do. Well, in a sense, that's true, because if we sin, we repent, we can be forgiven. But if we decide that we don't need to repent anymore because we're suddenly children of God, we're a bit like the kid that gets all of the inheritance and runs around and does all sorts of things with it and doesn't care. And eventually the father says, I'm taking, scrubbing out son on here, and we're going back to my own business. I'll hand it to those who are behaving like sons and you can get out. We can't do that. That's actually really important, because I've met many Christians, and unfortunately I went to a church and heard a sermon on that, and my sister actually walked out with me, of somebody who was basically saying, it doesn't matter what you do now, you can do anything you like and you don't have to say sorry. This is not the gospel. Paul is very clear. If we live in the flesh, we die. If we live in Christ, we live. And we actually need to keep that. And the reason why I'm speaking on that now is I think it's something that's really important to make sure that we understand the depth of the gift. The spirit of adoption is given to us, not the spirit of fear. And when we come into that place of adoption and we are really God's child, we don't have to be afraid of him, and we can deal with our sin well. That's actually healthy. It's healthy to be able to say, I'm not walking rightly, help me. Because we grow up together then, and the sanctification process, the becoming holy, happens in our lives together as God's children, as a family. We bring one another up in Christ. We lead one another in Christ. We work together, and the Spirit leads us in that. The Spirit that cries, Abba, Father, is the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, we are heirs, and heirs of God, therefore joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. There are people who have trouble with that too. But this is not talking about this, the sacrifice on the cross, as much as it's talking about living for Jesus and suffering in that life. The thing is, it costs something to be a Christian. It costs something. We have to actually say, God would have me do it this way, even though I want to do it that way. It costs to be a Christian. Living every day as a Christian can cost us quite a bit, because sometimes we would really, really like to make that choice. But that choice is not going to help us. And so we suffer with him in that constant choice, but also we suffer with him in the persecution that comes for being a Christian. Paul is writing to the Romans. Persecution is rising. It's getting bad, quite bad by now. It's not quite at the level that it was I've forgotten his name now. Isn't that awful? Anyway, Domitian and others came, but it's rising. And the Roman Christians are under the pump because they're in the place of the emperor. And, of course, the emperor cult means you're supposed to worship the emperor, not anything else. And they have to continually walk in that place where following Jesus may get them killed, fed to a lion, or some such other thing. It is true that we suffer with him in that way. And you and I, we don't have that. We just have the disapproval of the people who don't want to hear. And we hide from that, don't we? We do. I know. I do it. You know, people talking to someone and you fall short from telling them the whole truth, because somewhere inside you're afraid that they're going to get upset and push you away. And we all do it in some way. We are actually called to speak that truth and keep speaking it, because that person needs the life that we have. And to be prepared to suffer for him is to be prepared to speak the truth. But Paul, who is often writing from prison, says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. In other words, the inheritance is worth the work. The inheritance is worth the work. It is worth sometimes the slog of being a Christian and walking through. Because the glory of God and what he is bringing to us is so much more. And Paul is using this as a bridge to talk about what's happening with creation and the world around us, because we don't live in isolation. For creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. What does it mean, the revealing of the children of God? Creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope. Now, when we go all the way back to the beginning, we see that in the beginning, God created the world and he created it good. We have those wonderful phrases, and God saw and it was good. And he's looking at it and saying, excellent, it's good stuff. I like that. Did a good job on that one. And then he makes the next bit and the next bit. And when he made humanity, he called us good too. Very good indeed. And he made creation in that place. Absolutely nothing wrong in it. But he did create us with that choice to be able to choose. And therefore we could rebel, and we did exactly that. And we got kicked out. Out of Eden, but not out of creation altogether. Just out of that place of perfection and into a place where we have to live in a creation which is not perfect. And the reason why it's not perfect is because sin corrupts it. Sin corrupts our creation within ourselves and the creation around us. The way that we have behaved over time creates dis-ease in our world. The hope that Paul talks about, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage in decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God, is about the reversal of that. And the reversal happened at the cross. And it's being brought about. But we're in a now and not yet. We're not fully there yet. The cross has reversed this. Jesus has died. The price is paid. It is finished. The resurrection is our guarantee of that. But there's a playing out of that over time. And so creation groans and it waits. And we wait for the fulfillment of everything that the reversal of sin brought into being. It happens over time. We know the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. It's a creative thing. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for the fulfillment of that adoption, the redemption of our bodies. We are waiting because here we still have the now and not yet, don't we? There is a fulfillment of inheritance and we're not going to get it straight away. It comes eventually. But right now we're in that now and not yet. And the tension of that can mean that we have to live with the mess. And the mess can be hard. And sometimes we really do come into a place where we are before God groaning because the mess can be pretty messy. And yet, there is a hope. There is hope, for in hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope for who hopes for what's seen. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. See, this is our problem, and it's the problem of the world, and it's really the problem of the weeds and the wheat. We have been adopted and you are a child of God. We have to play that out and live that out. And in that living out, we need the Holy Spirit to give us the grace to be able to live it out. And there'll be days when that's hard. And there'll be days when that's easy. And there'll be days when we feel victorious and we know we're walking well. And there'll be other days when we're just not quite sure we got it together. And it doesn't matter where we're at in that spectrum. The fact is we are children of a living God. And he is our Father. And he doesn't call you servant. He calls you friend. And he calls you to him. And we can come to him with everything that is happening and remember that he is good always. And we can bring that to him. The completion of this doesn't come till the end of time. But the completion of our adoption, those papers were signed and sealed with the blood of Jesus. That's true. Now, yes, there'll be times when we see the weeds out there. And there'll be times when we are heartbroken at what is happening around us. And there'll be times when people will walk away. And there'll be times when people come in and they're destructive. One person who came to a church a long time ago, and I was working not as the vicar but as an associate, and this person came in and they had all of the gifts and they seemed to have all the stuff. And they told us all about it and how they were really happy to be here. I've just moved into the area and I want to help. And they were amazing and they sounded so good. They really did. And everybody's going, oh, let's get them to do things. But the Holy Spirit in me said, something wrong here. Something wrong here. And so I went to the vicar and we had a bit of a chat about it and we decided we'd check the story. So we started following up. We found out that every person, that person, every place that person had gone, they had worked dividing the church. They were not a we from that church. They came in, planted by an enemy. And they were somebody who, in every place, they were so glad when they left, but they'd left destruction in their wake. It happens. So we had a little chat with him and said, oh, it's wonderful that you want to serve. It's great that you want to serve. However, we don't allow somebody to come into leadership until they've been with us for a little while. So we'd like you to stay and be part of the congregation and participate in what we're doing, but you cannot do anything until we have come to that place where you've become part of our community properly. And then when you're in that place and we feel it's right, then you can exercise your gifts. He didn't stay. Because he wanted to do what would have been destructive. Thank goodness for this bit of discernment. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of discernment. There will be people who do not live according to law. They're foster children, they're part of the church, and they come into the church, but they're still in fosterhood. They've not come into a place where they're truly adopted because they've not come to full faith in Jesus. But they want all the good stuff without the sonship. And they will often be people who are being used in that way. Or sometimes they're just people who don't understand what they're doing and they need the grace of God and they need to come to a place where they really do come to full faith in Jesus. And in that, when they're remade, they can look back and see and go, mm-hmm. But when a loving family accepts the child adopted, they love that child as they are. And we love those who come to us as they are, and then we seek to help them to grow up amongst us. Sometimes you can't always tell the difference, but God will help us if that's the issue. So Paul is in a place here where he is trying to make sure that we've got all of the elements to understand who we are. To understand that as children of the living God and people who are adopted as children of God, we have access to the Father, we have a finished work in Christ, we are not now children out on the street, orphans or even fosters, we have been adopted. And our Father is our Father and will not let us go. And our names are written there. It's Yahweh and Son, not Yahweh and employees, Yahweh and Son. And we are there. And that is our identity, and it's the place we are to live from in the power of the Holy Spirit who helps us to do it. And although the world around us groans, and although things happen that are not part of what we would want, and although sin is still part of our lives, and although all these things happen, we are not to be afraid. We are to live out this life one day at a time in a loving, caring community together under the God who loves us. Let me pray. Our Lord, we give you thanks and praise that you are our Father and you have brought every single person here into your arms. I give you thanks, Lord, that we are all children of God by faith in Jesus, and that your Holy Spirit is with us to help us. Give you thanks, Lord, that you are working through and in us. Help us to live together as a family, and help us to work with one another as you work with us. Help us not to give any room for people to feel that they cannot come and ask forgiveness. Help us not to be in a place where we walk in fear with one another or with you. And help us, Lord, always to be witnesses, that others may also come and find that you are here and become part of our family too. In Jesus' name. Amen.